live in the Blog Talk Radio
Blog
studio.
Talk Radio.
You call in and listen in the studio. I'm grateful that
women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share.
Thank you.
Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Is going to give us wisdom.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be.
So
we are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
You can almost feel the culture of those countries, of those populations, when you use their language in greeting. So that just brings joy to my heart to be able to come to you this morning and greet a global family. So we're talking about medical checkups this morning and how we can avoid them. And one of the first ways that Dr. Christian Northup, that's who I'm taking this information from, Dr. Christian Northup's blog this week. I get emails from her every week practically. She's one of the misinformation dozen, I think they call her, because she talks about truth. And she has kind of separated herself from the medical establishment because she doesn't believe in that stuff anymore. So this morning I read in my meditation Along the Path of Enlightenment that I want to share with you because it is so appropriate and relevant to what we're going to talk about to this morning. And on December 3rd, the reading says, as the payoffs of the ego are refused and surrendered, that means when we drop the ego, its grip on the psyche, on our emotions, lessens. When we decide, I don't want to have this huge ego, I don't want it to be about me, all about me, victim, blaming, then the psyche, the grip that it has on our emotions, reduces. And spiritual experience progresses as the residuals of doubt are progressively relinquished. So when we stop doubting who we are, what we're here to do, then all the spiritual experience progresses. And then finally, it says, as a consequence of all that, dropping the ego and really embracing who you are and on your journey and all the wonderful metaphysical lessons, as a consequence, belief is replaced by experiential knowledge. Let me say that again. As a consequence of dropping your ego, it's all about me, 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 me. The consequence is your belief that you have had from childhood is replaced by experience, the knowledge you gain from experience. The depth and intensity of devotion increases and may eventually supersede and eclipse all other worldly activities and interests. So when we talk about avoiding unnecessary medical checkups, part of that is a strong belief system that we have of going to see a doctor every year and getting an annual checkup. Well, Dr. Christian Northrup says that's not necessarily true. And that's part of the ego idea that, oh, I got my checkup and the report says and the blood test says this and the blood. Well, Dr. Northrup is going to show us how we can avoid all that. And one of the reasons I decided to take up this topic, not just the email I get from Dr. Christian Northrup, who I highly respect, a well-trained obstetrician and gynecologist, delivered many babies. I have so much respect for gynecology and obstetrics because they have seen life when it first starts from the womb. And they have trained in the medical profession for many years. And Dr. Northrup is in her 70s. You can Google Dr. Northrup. She's on Telegram more than any other site, social media, because they bumped her off of Facebook. Too much truth for Facebook for her. And Twitter as well. So she's off Twitter and Facebook, along with many other conscious, enlightened physicians. She's off. She's on Telegram if you want to follow her and get her wisdom, amazing wisdom. So that's who we're going to talk about this morning. I'm going to read from her blog, The 12 Ways to Avoid Unnecessary Medical Checkups. And her wisdom is just off the chain. And you're going to just, I think you're going to love her wisdom. And one of the reasons, as I said, I decided to really promote this topic. A friend of mine called me and said one of her friends, associates, just got a new job, and he's making approximately $500 a week. But when he adds on the cost of insurance, guess how much money he's going to take home? About half that amount. So when you're looking for a J-O-B, and you factor in the transportation, the clothes, and all the expenses of going to that J-O-B, and then they say, well, in order for you to have medical and dental insurance, it's going to cost you half your salary. Whoa. That's why we're talking about this topic. I want to save some of you brothers and sisters the stress of going to a J-O-B and taking home half of what they promised you because you paying an insurance company to do what? That's the question. That's what we want to drive into. Is it worth the premiums that you're paying to have a J-O-B that only gives you half of what you really need instead of the full amount you thought you were going to get? Okay. We want to let me know how you feel about that. Do you have a job and are you paying? What are you paying for your insurance these days? I have no idea. I don't pay for premiums insurance. I don't even have medical insurance. I have a credit card that for emergency use now, and that's my medical. And I'm old enough to have Medicare hospitalization, which is free. So if I go into the hospital, I have Medicare 80%. But otherwise, I don't go to doctor's offices anymore. I'm the one in this meditation this morning about experiential knowledge. When you let go of the ego, I got to have a job. I got to do it's me, 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 me. And you go into beliefs. What are your beliefs? That's the number one way to avoid medical checkup is looking in your belief. But before we do that, I did not forget joint rolling. We have to roll some joints. Why do we roll joints? Because in order for us to have a healthy body, we've got to keep this body in great shape. And that's what this man behind me, Sherman Howard, my dad, this athlete taught me, is how to take care of your body. And one of the things we did as children was exercise, exercise, exercise. We were on our bikes, we were at the YMCA, we were swimming. And so that's why I'm here promoting joint rolling. And joint rolling is all about, if you're new to health and well-being, joint rolling is all about activating the synovial fluids in your joints, which keep your joints lubricated. And it's also about getting that lymphatic pump going, because the lymphatic system, which runs all throughout the body, is the pump that gets rid of the toxin. So that if you're joining me every week or doing your joint rolling in bed, as I promote on my Wednesday yoga show, you're going to be healthier and you're not going to need medical checkups. That's just one of the ways we're going to talk about today to get this body in a state of balance and what they call homeostasis. So before I start the music, you in Blog Talk Radio studio and you in Facebook, let's just start rolling our neck around. And we'll do that together, and the shoulders first. And then we're going to get on the floor with music, Time for Healing by the Sounds of Blackness, to roll all the joints, the ankle joints, the wrist joints, the elbow joints, the knee joints, and then the hip joints. And then we'll do some padding on our body to encourage you to keep your lymph system and circulation moving. But I watched a Facebook video by Serena Williams, you know, the tennis queen. And the first, she was demonstrating her workout that she and her sister do every day, I guess. And the first thing they did, neck rolling. I was like, whoa, that's me, that's me. She did the same neck roll that I've been doing for over a year now at the beginning of all my yoga classes. So we're in good company when we choose to roll our necks around and every other. She did some other lunges. Mostly Serena is doing lunges and strengthening her legs, of course. And I didn't watch the whole video, but I got enough to realize that this woman, who's the queen of tennis and one of the most famous and popular and effective athletes, is doing neck rolling. So let us join together, even you in the studio, bringing our chin to our chest and just rolling this neck around slowly. Remember, I'm not a doctor, so this show is not intended to replace any medical advice that you may be receiving. If you have any conditions, chronic or acute, that you haven't been able to handle, please see your doctor first and then join us here every week. So we're rolling our neck around in one direction, stretching it out. You've been sleeping maybe all night and now you're up. Now let's reverse that and go the other direction, stretching. And the reason, one of the reasons we stretch these neck muscles out, because we've got a lot of weight holding up this neck, or a lot of weight sitting on these neck muscles and bones. Our head, our brain, I forget, but I know the brain weighs a ton, a lot of pounds on this brain. So by stretching the neck muscles, we are just strengthening this support on underneath the brain, which is very heavy. All right, let's pause that and let's just roll our shoulders back before we get on the floor. Roll our shoulders back slowly in one direction, and then we're going to go forward, reverse that, go forward, and we're going to pause there and go backwards. We went backwards and forwards, yeah. So this is what gives your back muscles a little exercise as well. So we're not just rolling our shoulder muscles, but we're also giving our back when we do this forward and backward movement. So we're going to put some music on now. I'm going to move to the floor, and we're going to, if you're in the studio, just get on the floor. And we're going to kick our legs up and first roll our ankle and wrist joints. And then we're going to roll our elbow and knee joint. And then lastly, our hip joints. and then we'll be back in the studio to start 12 ways to avoid unnecessary medical checkups, and that means saving money. So let me start my music first. And down to the floor.
Healing through our heart. of those, that skin, tap that on. The skin is alive. It's the largest external organ. And don't forget the breath. Even though this is the December, our breath still need attention. And underneath the breath, massage around the breath. Grab the breath and squeeze them. Yes, ladies, don't be afraid. Squeeze, massage. Tell your breath how much you love them. And then give yourself a little massage around that area. Lymph systems get clogged sometimes around the breast because we wear bras. I don't wear a bra, but I have comfortable leggings on all the time. And just give yourself a pat and massage. Massage the abdomen. Get those microbiome active today. Pat on the legs. Pat down. And at the end of this, we give our gluteus maximus a little pat stimulation, especially if you sit all day. You want to give your parts of your body some love. All right, we're going to go back to the studio and get busy with our show today. Hope you in the Blog Talk studio were joining me as well. And we're back in the studio to talk about 12 ways to avoid unnecessary medical checkup. And as I said, one of the reasons we want to try and do this, and let me just say, before we do that, let's just do some breathing. Because one of the first ways to avoid is to change your belief system. And many of us never grew up and learned about the importance of breath work. So let's just take a minute after that workout to do just a minute of inhaling to the count of five and exhaling to the count of five or six. Inhaling, one, two, three, four, five, hold it for two and exhale. Inhaling, breathing in, hold it and exhale. This is a worship, form of worship in my experience. You're giving your body the life and death experience and of gratitude. And we are operating gratitude when we're breathing in and out, thanking that we have the life that comes in, but then we let go, which is a form of death that we practice every day. When you're breathing in and out, you're practicing life and death, because if you don't keep inhaling, guess what? Your life ends. So one of the first things we want to get into about 12 ways to avoid unnecessary medical checkups, and I'd love to hear from any of my listeners about what has been your experience with medical checkups. Have you had a positive experience in your doctor's office, which would be great. If you have a conscious doctor who's in touch with your emotional state and your relationships, which we're going to talk about. But in the meantime, let's dive into what Dr. Christian Northup, a longtime obstetrician, gynecologist, and now a very, very active woman in the health care, health arena, teaching us how to avoid unnecessary checkup. So her blog this week was about why you should skip your annual checkup and go into other aspects of life journey experience. In my opinion, save some money. So she starts out her blog. She received her quote health plan from her insurance company. How many of us receive a health plan? Is it a health plan or a sick plan to keep you in their office? And it informed her that her health plan for the next year is to, number one, get a mammogram, get a colonoscopy, and have my lipid profile done and get a blood pressure check. That's the typical information, right, that doctors send out that you need to do to stay healthy, right? Mammogram, colonoscopy, never had one of those, never will. Have my lipid profile done and get a blood. So many of us have done that. But she says her insurance company doesn't know her or the fact that she's been questioning routines and procedures such as these that have no data to support them. Isn't that interesting? All these years, We've had doctors recommending mammograms, colonoscopies, and there's no data, she says, to even support that. So she's questioned that for some time. Procedures as these have no data to support them for my entire career. Her entire career spans over 50 years, I believe. And she says there's been no data in her medical professional. They are completely unnecessary, she says. Obviously, I will not be following their health plan. So another completely unnecessary routine, she says, is the annual checkup. Yet they have been ingrained in our culture for decades. The problem is that checkups have evolved into 15-minute meetings with doctors who typically don't know you, hand out prescriptions, recommend diagnostic tests to look for diseases you don't have, and give warnings without impending problems you will encounter if you don't subscribe to every word they and the medical establishment say. That certainly has been my experience. I don't know about yours. Tell us what your experience has been so we can be educated and enlightened. Because Dr. Christian Norser says one of the fundamental beliefs of the medical establishment is that disease is the enemy. And our bodies are the war zones. That's why we're in this twilight zone of you got to get a jab to fight the virus. That's so true what she's saying. Let me read that. A fundamental belief of the medical establishment is disease is the enemy and our bodies are the war zone. This goes hand in hand with the other fundamental belief that medical science is omnipotent. Omnipotent, it's God, it's divine, medical science. This has become even more evident during the events of the past 2 years, even though the science has been one-sided and created to support a narrative rather than to support your health. How many of you feel like the last 2 years have been a narrative to support their agenda and not your health? Just raise your hand. She says she's not saying you should never seek medical care, and I'm not either, for a health concern. Again, I said in the beginning, if you have any condition, acute or chronic, that you haven't been able to manage, go to your doctor and get some information. But she says, if you are healthy and still scheduling your annual physical and screening tests out of habit, she wants to assure you there are better ways to stay healthy. And when you embark on a course of true health, you stop giving your power over to doctors and the insurance companies that are all incentivized to keep you sick or living in fear that you will get sick. Now, that's a fact that many people may not believe, but here's 12 ways. The first way that she says, in addition to a healthy diet, appropriate level of exercise, adequate sleep, and other ways, I recommend that you avoid getting sick. Here are 12 ways to avoid unnecessary. Number one, are you ready? Drum roll. Strengthen your belief system around your health, around your health. Thoughts and beliefs are stronger than genetics. If you believe you are healthy and will say health, stay healthy, then you most likely will. Is that a belief you have, that if you believe you're healthy and you will stay healthy, then you most likely will? So I've uploaded some audios to help us even understand that even better. And I don't know anyone better to help us understand belief systems than Dr. Bruce Lipton. See, I'm connected with so many doctors that I don't feel at all disadvantaged when I say I don't have health insurance or anything, because I have some of the most conscious people in my life telling me, helping me, guiding me. And this one is from Bruce Lipton. It's only a couple of minutes, but I don't know anyone better to enforce and talk about belief systems. And that's her first recommendation, is to change your belief system about your health and medicine and sickness and health. So let's listen to Bruce Lipton is a PhD
trained medical professional who taught medical students at Stanford University until he woke up one night and realized epigenetics and other things were going on other than what the medical system was teaching. So here is some wisdom from Dr. Bruce Lipton, one of my favorite. He's a cellular biologist. He looks at cells under high-power microscopes and decides what in the world is going on in our body. So here's his wisdom to start.
The world as we see it right now is in an evolutionary upheaval. We're leaving behind an old belief system and moving into a new world. But this new world, what's different about it is, in the past, if you look at it, people have perceived themselves as victims of everything around them, victims of circumstances. And then we go, oh, I'm sorry, life did not give me those wonderful things that other people have. And the simple reality is, no, if you have an issue, it's not the outside. This is what we've always, oh, universe, give me something. We now know that our issues are internal. It's our own subconscious beliefs that we've been programmed with of disempowerment. Like when a child is growing up and getting its programs, so think of what things parents say. Oh, you don't deserve this. Who do you think you are? I mean, the parents didn't mean that for your whole life. They were trying to, you know, goad you, you know, needle you to make a change. So they would say these things. 95% of our life comes from those programs. So if you have disempowering beliefs about who you think you are, because you got them from other people, that's how you know who you are. These disempowering beliefs play 95% of the day in an average person's life. So I say, yeah, well, my wishes and desires, oh, I want success, I want great relationships, I want all these wonderful things, I want health. I go, well, that's conscious mind, because conscious mind's creative. But as science reveals, only 5% of the day are we operating from our own personal wishes and desires. 95% of the day we operate from the programs that we got in the first 7 years. And if those programs, which psychologists have told us, 70% are negative and disempowering and self-sabotaging, I say, good, apply these 95% of the day in your life. And you realize why your life is a struggle. It's not a struggle because the universe is not providing. It's a struggle because your own consciousness is not accepting. And this is where we have to change. And so getting control of your mind, taking charge of your consciousness, is a way of overcoming those limitations. There are many different ways to take this control back in your life. And one of them is the ability to, like in yoga, for example, to be the master of your mind and not let it run the monkey mind. Let it run. No, I want this. Don't let this other one go.
That was Dr. Bruce Lipton. If you want to hear more of his amazing teachings about the belief system, epigenetics, and how you can take control of your mind and let go of the program, that's the first way Dr. Christian Northrup recommends we meditate, think about, in order to avoid unnecessary medical checkups. That's our topic today. Call in and share your experience with the medical system if you like. What are you going through right now? Maybe we can give you some tips on how to overcome them. But the main, I think, focus of Dr. Bruce Lipton's message was program. We've all been programmed. We've been programmed since childhood that the man in the white coat is omnipotent, divine, and they are the only ones who can fix your body. That's the program I received. I don't know about you. All my life, got to go to a doctor. You can't fix your own body. These days with the internet, there's doctors all over YouTube. I mean, not just some Joe Blow making a video. That's what, when I tell people, I get a lot of information off YouTube. Well, how can you do that? They're not professionals. There's tons of professionals on YouTube making videos. That's how they make more money. So let us think about what Dr. Bruce Lipton just shared, is that we're all programmed and we need to ditch the program. Put in a whole new system up here in this command center in our brain and start being creative masters of our life, creating something powerful and new in this vessel of love. I like to call it a vessel of love because 9 months in the womb is all about love. It's not about hate. If you think about it, every one of us spent 9 months in our mother's womb. That was love construction for 9 months. And we come out with dysfunctional parents, alcoholic parents, abusive parents, sexually abusing us, blah, blah, blah. And we forget how masterful and creative we are to manage this vessel of love. I have to go to a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to go to our second way to avoid unnecessary medical care. You're going to love it. The more we get into this, you're going to just love it, because you can be transformed today to take charge of your health. We'll be right back after
this. Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships. My introductory cost of $20. Please call, because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
We're back. Thank you for joining me this morning. It's a beautiful day in Florida, my last day in this location, the former Kundalini Yoga Center. I'm really excited to move on to a new chapter in my life. But I'm even more excited to share this information from Dr. Northrup, because I just love this woman. She's in her 70s and she's active in the information, giving information to the world, giving information to the world now about how to stay healthy. And her blog this week is 12 ways to stop going to your medical chest every year. So her second advice on how to avoid unnecessary. Now we're talking about unnecessary medical tests. If you have a growth growing in your body, you might need to go and check it out because it's been growing for a while. But her second way to avoid is listen to your body. And she says listening to dis-ease before it becomes disease is the best way to ensure health. When you are in tune with your body, you intuitively know when something needs to be addressed. Often you can address it before it gets to the point of needing medical intervention. And many people avoid listening to their body because of fear that, oh, I might have a disease or something. But she says listening to your body is the way to avoid unnecessary medical checkup. And just going back to belief system, she said thoughts and beliefs are stronger than genetics. If you believe you're healthy and will stay healthy, then you most likely will. So again, I have an audio just to encourage you about what it means to listen to your body. Some people might even be wondering, well, what does that mean, listening to your body? Well, one way when you listen to your body is to actually close your eyes. Let's do this little exercise before we go to the audio. Everyone, close your eyes and think about your toes. How do your toes feel? Are they tingling? Are they calm? And then you go up to your ankles. Closing your eyes, you're just focusing on parts of your body. How are your body parts communicating with you? Are they in pain? Listen to your, look at, think about your knees, eyes closed, think about your knees. How do your knees feel? Focus on your knees. That brings your consciousness to the vessel of love, the knees part. And then you go up the body and just do a scan every night, every morning, throughout the day. How's my elbow feeling? How's my chest feeling? How's my ears feeling? You do that type of scan, and you can open your eyes if you like. You do that type of scan throughout your day, and when you are able to hear or feel the pain directing to your attention to that part of the body, then you start breathing and sending the oxygen and the breath to that area. That's just one way to connect to listening to your body. Here is another I love this. You're going to love this. It's a ballet dancer. A ballet dancer sharing her experience. Her experience as a ballet dancer, the pain and suffering that she goes through. And yet, she has learned something very important. I love watching ballet. I don't know about you. Because it's just such an amazing discipline to be stretching and moving. Like, it's like rolling joints for like 30 minutes and on your toes. So I think you'll appreciate her TED talk about what she has gone through to listen, to learn how to listen to her body, and having surgeries and injuries and so many things that happen to the body as a ballet dancer, and what is the response that you have, not a reaction, oh, my knee is hurting, oh, be quiet, knee. Or your head turning, you take an aspirin. That is how you don't want to listen to your body. Your head, you have a headache, and all you do is throw an aspirin in there. Instead of breathing, using peppermint oil or other natural remedies from nature that help us balance, because it's all about balance. When you feel, when you're listening to your body, and you realize I have a pain here or there, it's out of balance, right? And your spinal cord and massaging it can help. Now, here's a ballet dancer about listening to the body.
Sounds, looks very easy, no? But not the case. Now, before I start today, I know it's very early in the day, but I would like to ask you all to do something very shortly together. Okay? If everybody just takes a breath and close their eyes and take your attention from the stage and from me, and just put it inside your bodies. Just feel how you're sitting in your chair, and feel your legs and your back and arms, your chest and shoulders and neck and the head. And just feel if there is anything in your body, like a tension or pain, or maybe you're really relaxed. And also realize, have you noticed this before, or did you just realize now when you paid attention? Thank you. You can open your eyes now. So our body constantly sends us messages. be it of basic survival like thirst or hunger, or of our emotions in the present moment, no? Like me going red right now because I usually dance and I don't talk. But also by pain, it lets us know there might be something wrong. But can there be more? Can our bodies tell us a deeper story if we learn to listen? Now, as a dancer, I know a great deal about pain. I experience it on a daily basis. But because it's my passion and who I am in a way, I have learned to deal with it. But I also made a few discoveries. Dance is a beautiful art form that creates worlds for the audience, the world of passion, beauty, and imagination. From outside, it looks effortless, but it's our job to make it look so. It's a lot of hard work, and we usually pay a high price for it with our bodies. So we polish this ability to work with our body and also our brain. Now it takes a lot of effort to remember all those steps. And as a result, we develop a very high awareness of ourselves, but most importantly of our bodies. And through the years of my professional career, I have realized that this ability and awareness of my body is not only important for me as a dancer, but also as a human being. And I have learned that if I really learn to listen, I can also learn, not only be healthier, but also learn and grow. And so what taught me to really listen so deeply to my body was actually my body. I have learned through injuries, and I have had a lot of those through the years. Now, ballet is a very competitive sport. And being healthy is not just how we want to be. It is a job requirement. If you cannot or not able to dance, you're out, and somebody's going to take your place. So our body is the instrument, and we need it fit and tuned. But sometimes what even adds to the pressure is that even if you have pain, you don't know why. Getting injured does not only mean you're out of the show or you're missing out on work, it also means countless visits to the doctors. Now, in my 12 years here, I've probably been more than 30 times to a doctor because of pain, injury, or an accident. I've had countless MRIs and x-rays and two operations, and not to even mention a lot of hours spent with a physiotherapist. But again, what adds to the pressure is that sometimes you have pain, but we don't know why. Or it's just not so difficult for the body. No, it's okay. So you end up being sent home with some painkillers and you're told to wait. And for the dancer, waiting is a killer. Now, this career is short, so we cannot lose the time. It's very precious to us. And sometimes even waiting doesn't help. So facing such difficulties in my early years here in Dresden, I have decided to look for alternative ways to help me deal with my injuries, not only to deal with stress and pressure of it, but also to maybe find out if there was something more. Maybe there was something more that my body was trying to tell me. I have tried different things like acupuncture, different alternative healing techniques, and then one day I came across something called regression therapy. I have literally stumbled on it just walking on the streets in Dresden, just like that. It was not an accident. So regression therapy helps you to find the roots of your current problems or difficulties, be they emotional or physical, by accessing the forgotten memories and experiences in your past. It does not only help you to find them, but also to resolve them, so you can get back the energy that was lost. It deals with many things like childhood experiences, prenatal period, or experiences passed through generations, and even past lives. At the first time when I started working with this therapy, I've had a small little bone, extra bone in my foot, which is actually not so unusual to have. But what was unusual about it is that it would make my foot get stuck out of nowhere in the most unexpected places, rehearsal, show, before show. I didn't know when it was going to happen. And I could have done, of course, an operation, but that would mean losing time again. Plus, I really wanted to know why it was happening in such a way. And so doing this therapy, I have established a deeper connection with my body, and I have realized that this always happened when I didn't want to do something because I was afraid, insecure, feeling incapable, or even unworthy. Now, that was a time when I was an aspiring young dancer and I wanted to move forward in my career. So my foot actually pointed me towards all those blocks and insecurities that were preventing me from doing so. So I sat on the path of releasing these negative patterns and beliefs. And I have discovered that my body possessed so much more knowledge about me than I did. And it sounds a bit funny, but my foot became my greatest teacher. So I continued to learn, not only with injuries, but also with any pain that happened to me. And I have learned so many things about myself and about this power that I've had, the strength within me, about being confident as a dancer, an artist, as a woman, and also as a human being. I have also learned more about who I am. And so this journey helped me to heal a lot of things and to get stronger. And so I became a principal dancer after all. So the journey continues, of course, and I keep learning, like with everything in life, you just keep going. And again, I just learn now, not only with injuries, but with anything that comes up. I can also tell the difference if it's just I have pain because I danced for 6 hours, or maybe there is really something that I need to pay attention to. And so my body keeps taking me forward and even pushes me to go to new horizons. Like, for example, I also became a regression therapist myself, so I can help people to access all this knowledge in their bodies among all the things that this therapy does. And now I strongly believe that this awareness and ability to listen to your body is not only a key to being healthier, but also to a personal transformation. But you don't have to be a dancer.
So I'm going to stop it there. It's a long video, but awesome. I think that was an awesome testimony about not only pain, how she deals with pain. I mean, 6 hours of dancing and all that, oh my goodness. But dealing with pain and really revealing the insecurities that you have in your emotions. So it really does, she really touched on the emotional aspect of it, listening to your body and realizing that, oh, what happened here? I have a bone injury, I have a weak injury, I have a weak leg or whatever. But as she said, going deeper connected with the body, going deeper into the emotional root, and as we said earlier, the programming that we've all had in our lives about our belief systems and all that just from the pain. So I'm so grateful for women like her who and men who are giving those testimonies and being transparent about your pain in your life, your insecurities from childhood, the sexual abuses, the harm that you had as a child that caused you to be insecure in your adult life. And your body is reflecting all that experience. So let's move on to number 3. Give yourself permission. So far, if you just joined us, we're talking about 12 ways from Dr. Christian Northrup on how to avoid unnecessary medical checkups. And she's a doctor saying this, so this is amazing, in her 70s. Experience and wisdom talking here. Number 1 was strengthen your belief systems because we've all been programmed and we actually need to transform our belief systems. 2, listening to your body, which we just heard from a ballet dancer who spends a lot of time in pain and who has learned about her childhood and past life experience could have an impact on even her pain that she's feeling from dancing. So number 3 is giving yourself permission. Dr. Northrup says often, the only thing standing between you and a better, healthier, more abundant life is simply giving yourself a permission slip to be who you truly are meant to be. What does that mean, you may ask? Giving yourself permission. Well, I found a permission video audio to highlight this amazing concept of giving yourself permission. So let's listen to another expert, another opinion.
So many of us are looking for permission slips. We're looking for someone to give us permission to feel the way that we feel, to think the way that we think, to be the way that we want to be. But who are we looking to for this permission, and how can we give it to ourselves? Watch this video. So many of us are looking out there for permission to own something in here. Think about it. How many times a day do you have a thought or an idea or a dream or a vision, and there's some part of you that is still one foot in and one foot out? Your action steps and your thoughts and beliefs are not fully in alignment with getting that vision met, with believing that that vision can be met, will be met, deserves to be met. We are constantly looking for someone else to tell us that this is realistic, that this is doable, that this is believable, that this is something you're worthy of. So I want each and every one of you to take one thing in your life that you are really wanting, that you are really seeing, that you are really desiring, and then think about why that hasn't come forth. Think about what's in the way. Think about why you can't fully believe in it. Think about why you can't truly own it, whether it be a perception, a belief about yourself, a vision that you have with someone else, a desire for a career that's not yet out there in the world. What is the one thing standing in your way, and why isn't it there yet? Why aren't you fully on board? I'm going to bet almost 100% you're looking for permission. You're looking for permission, some kind of sign, some kind of condition, some kind of situation, some kind of external authority or mentor or guru or teacher or partner or something to tell you, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, you should own that. Yeah, you're worthy. Yeah, you're good. Yeah, I can see that too. But guess what? Sometimes, no matter how much permission we think we need from outside, we still haven't given ourselves the permission to receive the guidance, to allow the gift, to own the truth that this is our mission. This is why we have this desire. Because it's meant to be delivered. It's meant to be realized. All desires are dreams that haven't yet had action steps behind them or manifestation. But the key to this manifestation is permission, self-permission. When we give ourselves the permission to fully stand in, that's what this lighting, to fully stand in the thing that we desire, without needing any condition to be different, without needing any other person to give us permission, without any other authority other than the one within ourselves. When we give ourselves that permission, miracles occur. I'm going to tell you a story. I am a former self-sabotager. My biggest pattern in life that I had to break before I was able to stand in this work was self-sabotage. And the reason that I was self-sabotaging was because there was always a part of me that had a fear that maybe I'm not good. Because I had this belief that good things happened if you were good and bad things happened if you were bad. And there are many other layers to this story. But it's something for everyone, whether you're not good enough or you're unworthy, whatever, right? It's something for everyone. For me, it was goodness. I grew up thinking that maybe I was bad because I wasn't able to please everyone all the time, because I wasn't able to align with everyone around me. But what I did have, this gift I did have, was self-alignment. I was aligning with myself. I was aware of my own desires. I was aware of my own way of thinking and doing things. But that wasn't getting me approved of by those around me that wanted me to do it their way. So I built this belief inside that if I'm aligned with me, I'm not going to be loved by others. So there was this fracture. There was this fracture of, I'm good, but if they don't think I'm good, maybe I'm not good. So I need permission so that I know that I'm good. I need permission through external experiences and conditions and approval to know that I'm on track, which is interesting because most of the time when I was on track with the externals, I felt totally separated from self. So there was a lot of healing with that, but the fear that would always stand in my way was this almost constant, when good things would happen, a constant search for evidence that the fear was actually real. Search for evidence that the goodness might not be totally true. And when I stopped this self-sabotage pattern was when I had sabotaged myself so many times that it got to the point that I realized the only person that's ever rejecting me is myself. Anytime I would see any evidence of anything looking scary, it might mean that I'm not as good as I think I am or that I'm not good, I would take myself out of my own life. I would vacate my own body. I would feel this emptiness because I would abandon myself if others didn't think that I was good, if others didn't like what I was doing, if circumstance didn't seem to be favorable. I would abandon myself, and then I would abandon the dream that I had so that nobody else could abandon it first, because if they did, it might just confirm that I'm not good and I can't have that. So I'll just take myself out to be safe. And what I learned by doing that so many times is the only unsafety was my own abandonment of self. And when I learned to stay within myself and give myself permission to own myself regardless of others, regardless of circumstance, regardless of conditions, regardless of permission, my dreams started realizing themselves to a level I couldn't even have imagined. Oh my God, that made me emotional because it's so true. The moment I stayed in myself, regardless of the fear, and I allowed myself to have action steps in alignment with my desires, in alignment with what I truly wanted, I got to see it. I truly believed it before I saw it, and then it was manifested. And this year especially has been an incredible year of manifestation where everything that I said I wanted, I would go into. I would stop fearing and I would just stay in myself, not abandoning myself for the permission of others, not abandoning myself for some condition that gave me permission, but giving myself that permission anyway. When we can do this for ourselves unconditionally, we can have every dream that we imagine, because we get our own power behind ourselves. We literally start fighting for ourselves. We start standing in ourselves, and we start completely owning ourselves and realizing that all the permission or things we thought we ever needed are right here. It's about allowing ourselves to have that, allowing ourselves to stay in that, and allowing ourselves to be all the power that we truly are. So you guys, it's all about permission. I encourage you guys.
I love the testimonies we're hearing because it's just human journey, struggling to love yourself more. And that last one was really about fear versus love. Fear of what others think of you versus just loving me and being who I came to be. We're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to go to number 4. On the list of 12 ways to avoid unnecessary medical checkups from Dr. Christian Northrup's blog this week. I love this woman. So you're going to love the other 8 or what? Yeah, we're at 8 or nine. We've got nine more to go. I've got to keep moving here. So one, we're going to take a break and be right back after this.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Cell Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
I've got nine more ways to avoid unnecessary medical checkups to go. And if you're just joining us, thank you for joining us. And I hope you'll share this with those friends who are low on budget money for medical insurance. As I started at the beginning of the show, a friend called me about a young man who just got a job and he's making $500. He was offered $500 a week. And guess what? His insurance payments take half of that away. Is this not a crazy system, the medical system, the insurance system? So what do you do when you're looking for a J-O-B and you get the money you think you need and then your insurance, if you want to have medical insurance, you're going to lose half your income. So that's why we're doing this show. One of the reasons we're doing this show. So let's save some money on that and learn wisdom from Dr. Christian Northrup. So far, if you just joined us, Dr. Christian Northrup is an obstetrician gynecologist with about 50 years experience, and she has a regular weekly blog. And her blog this week was about 12 ways to avoid unnecessary medical checkup. Number one, strengthening your belief system. I say transforming your belief system. Number two, listening to your body. Number three, giving yourself permission. Number four is, I don't have an audio for this one. This is an easy one. She says, take ascorbic acid daily. This is such a simple piece of advice. I don't need an audio for this because all the years I spent in a health food store environment, I was a manager of that store. I was an employee as a customer service rep. I worked in the vitamin aisle for 4 years. And one of the main supplements is vitamin C. So especially during this corona madness, twilight zone madness, it just pays to take ascorbic acid daily. And she says, good old vitamin C supports health in many ways as both a preventative and a therapy. Of course, there are other supplements that you may want to add to your daily routine at any given time, but vitamin C should be a staple. So I hope we're all there. I'm not going to spend too much time on that. And ascorbic acid is one of the forms of vitamin C that is more effective in getting rid of viruses and helping you balance your body. And I take mine with every meal. Whenever I eat a meal, I'm popping in vitamin C from, I think I'm using Solaray right now. It has bioflavonoids in it along with rose hip, but it does have the ascorbic acid because I learned many, many years ago if I had candida, systemic candida in my blood, couldn't get out of bed, couldn't go to work, and a naturopathic doctor gave me a vitamin C IV for about 40 minutes maybe. I was back to work the next day, got rid of the candida, probably viruses and whatever else was keeping me from going to work. So I believe strongly in having a daily amount of vitamin C in your diet and as a supplement, especially these days, 1,000 milligrams every hour if you have an ongoing symptoms. But Dr. Brian Artis recommends something like I think it's 40,000 milligrams a day in, if you have any type of health issues. So that's number four. Number five, get your blood sugar under control. All disease stems from inflammation, Dr. Christian Northup says. Getting your blood sugar under control is the key to maintaining an anti-inflammatory state. Now, I do have an audio on this because many people don't understand what blood sugar is, how it works, and all that. So let's just listen to a very short, it's not short, but I'll cut it off as I feel like we've gotten enough out of it. But this is on imbalance, blood sugar imbalance. Just a reminder of why she's mentioning blood sugar in these 12 ways to avoid. And it just, again, it really goes back to listening to your body and checking your emotions. So let's listen to how to balance and what blood sugar means.
16 signs your blood sugar is high and 8 diabetes symptoms. The first thing that comes to mind for most people when the discussion of health and high blood sugar is brought up is diabetes. It's an extremely dangerous and deadly condition, but long before the individual is diagnosed with it, the body gives away signs that their blood sugar level is very high. Because many people's diets consist of artificial and processed foods, the number of people that are suffering from high blood sugar is dramatically increasing. The only way to put a stop to this is to educate ourselves and watch for the signs that our body is providing us. This will help us stay healthy as possible. Now, keep watching to find out what the most important signs are that tell you your blood sugar level is too high, as well as symptoms to look out for if you think you may have diabetes. Before we begin this video, don't forget to subscribe to our channel for more daily tips like this, and turn on notifications so you never miss our new videos. Number 16, excessive urination, urinating during the night. Granted, if you drink high amounts of water before you go to bed, there's a good chance you're waking up in the middle of the night to urinate, but if your blood sugar level is too high, you could pick up a urinary tract infection, which could result in excessive urination. Number 15, blurred vision. Don't overreact and go buy a pair of glasses if you begin to have temporary blurred vision. In most cases, it's high blood sugar, which causes the lens in the eyes to swell. Number 14, difficulty concentrating. When the body is lacking insulin, it's unable to remove glucose from the bloodstream into the cells. This does not allow the body to properly function. This is why you feel tired and can't concentrate properly. High blood sugar levels can dehydrate you because the body is trying to remove excess glucose through urination. Number 13, dry mouth. Because of the high glucose levels in your blood and saliva, which are caused by high blood sugar levels, your mouth becomes dry. Number 12, impotence. This issue, which only refers to men, stems from problems that are caused by poor long-term blood sugar control. This damages the nerves and the blood vessels. Number 11, recurrent infections. There are several recurring infections that need to be monitored. Also, watch out for numerous diseases in the pancreas and severe increase in blood glucose. Number 10, slow healing wounds. If you find that the smallest cuts and bruises are taking longer than usual to heal, high blood sugar levels could be the cause. It affects the nerves and can lead to poor blood circulation, making it tough for blood, needed for skin repair, to reach the wounded area. Number 9, stomach problems. When you have high blood sugar levels, emptying the food from your stomach could be delayed. This can lead to bloating, distension, abdominal pain, nausea, or vomiting. Number 8, constant fatigue or extreme tiredness. If your thyroid level is low, there is a good chance you are going to feel tired, sleepy, or depressed. In order to fight infections, it takes energy, which can result in constant fatigue and high blood sugar levels. Number 7, thirst. When you have high blood sugar levels, your kidneys are forced to work overtime to filter and absorb the excess sugar. In order to achieve that, liquids need to flow through the body in order to urinate the sugar. Number 6. Dry and itchy skin. When there's poor blood circulation flowing through your body, it causes itchy skin. The most common areas of the body that become itchiest are the lower parts of your legs. Number 5. Always hungry. You may be one of those people that have a big appetite, and that's fine. However, for people who normally do not have a large appetite, this could be because you're lacking a hormone called incretin. Incretin reduces the flow of sugar from the liver after consuming a meal. If you lack this hormone, food empties quicker and you'll be hungry again shortly after dinner, which increases your blood sugar level. Number 4. Excess abdominal weight or fat. This is one of the most common signs that you have high blood sugar levels. The food that you have consumed was not all able to get into the cells as energy, which would nourish the cells, so in turn, you feel hungry again. Number 3. Nerve problems. Simply put, if your blood sugar levels are high, it can damage the blood vessels that carry oxygen and nutrients to the nerves, which can lead to nerve problems. Number 2. Skin changes. If you begin to experience discoloration and certain growths on your skin, your blood sugar level may be high. Also, you may notice dark, thick areas of the skin may begin to form on the back of your neck and your hands as well. Number 1. Tingling and numbness. This goes hand in hand with nerve damage. If you experience tingling and numbness in certain areas of your body, your blood sugar level may be high. This type of nerve damage is called neuropathy. Now that you know about some of the signs that your blood sugar is probably too high, here are some symptoms to look out for that you may have diabetes. Number 8. Fatigue and hunger. The food that you eat is converted into glucose, which your cells use as energy. But to do this, your body needs insulin. According to WebMD, if the cells resist the insulin, the energy cannot get to the cells. This means that you have no energy. Number 7. Frequent urination. The average person urinates 4 to 7 times a day in a 24-hour span. WebMD states that this occurs because diabetes pushes your blood sugar up.
Okay, so I'm not going to keep that going because diabetes is a very interesting disease. And I want to just give you, before we move to number 5, I think, on our list of 12, we got to keep going. Louise Hay, in her book, Heal Your Body, the metaphysical way to overcome anything, I like her definition of diabetes. And I really like to encourage you to focus more on this to prevent diabetes and keep your blood sugar under control. Diabetes, in Louise Hay's book, Heal Your Body, here it is. I've used this on every client I've ever had, and it's always 100% accurate. So I just keep it and keep it going. So diabetes, in Louise Hay's book, is about longing for what might have been. Maybe that has to do with regret. And then a great need to control. Whoa, is that? I've seen so many people in my life like that. Deep sorrow or no sweetness left. Isn't that interesting how blood sugar has a lot to do with the feeling, the emotion of not feeling sweetness in your life? So here are some affirmations for us to keep in mind. If these apply to you, longing for what might have been, a great need to control, that's like narcissistic energy there, deep sorrow, no sweetness left, then here's some tapping you need to do. This moment is filled with joy. Every time you have this sorrow, depression, turn on some music and go, this moment is filled with joy. I now choose to experience the sweetness of today. Too many people go into the past, regrets, and victimization and blame, and then diabetes is just waiting to take over your body. So let's think about that when it comes to staying away from unnecessary medical advices. Now, number 6. Well, we're at number 6. Good. We're moving along here. Detox your pineal gland. This was I was surprised to see this on Dr. Northrup's list, but it makes perfect sense. If we want to stay out of the medical system, out of the medical offices, And why does she say this? Your pineal gland plays an important role in regulating almost every function in your body. How about that? That little bitty gland in your head, in your brain, plays an important role in regulating every function in your body, including reproduction, executive function, growth, body, temperature, blood pressure, sensory and motor activity, sleep, mood, and immune function, among others. So how do you detox your pineal gland? Well, I had to come bring in an audio on this one because, let's see, wrong one, because it's just an important bit of wisdom that a lot of people are totally unaware of, that pineal, the importance of the pineal gland. So let's listen to an Indian woman's philosophy on the pineal gland and all the wonders about this little gland.
Since ancient times, yogis have always given much importance to the space between these two eyebrows. This is a space where some of the yogis believe that our soul resides. And this pineal gland is a pea-sized organ which is situated between two hemispheres of our brain. This spot is also referred as one of the chakras, that is called as Agna chakra, which is represented by two petals. And these two petals automatically symbolizes the two hemispheres of our brain. This is a source of our mystical dimension of our life. There are many mystical sides of this gland, and that's why it becomes very interesting to know more about this. Do you know that apart from our eye cells, even pineal gland cells are light sensitive? Hence, it is known to regulate our biological clock, since it can sense light and darkness. At night, when you close your eyes, then everything is dark. And in that state, pineal gland releases melatonin, which is a hormone. And this hormone regulates our biological clock. So it works in mysterious ways. It holds many mysteries too. Sage Vyas says that there is an invisible hole in this region, which is luminous, spreads light, and it spreads coronal light. By focusing on this light, he says that he can see beings between Earth and the higher spaces. So it is believed that this gland connects a person to the higher world. Even Maharshi Patanjali, in the third chapter of Yoga Sutra, Sutra number 32, says, Murta Jyotishi Siddha Darshanam, that is, while focusing on this coronal light, you have a vision of Siddhas. Hence, some practitioners of yoga say that while meditating over here at this region, they can see bright light and they just enjoy being in that state. So, pineal gland for sure is no ordinary organ. It has a greater role to play in our metaphysical and our spiritual dimension. Meditation can activate this organ to its full potential. Here are some techniques which you can do to keep your pineal gland reach to its full potential and give you all the benefits. Number one, keeping awareness on your forehead. Our body works like this. Wherever your attention goes, that part starts functioning better. So, bring your awareness to your forehead region. There are certain other simple activities which we do naturally in our life, that ladies put this pot over here so that awareness goes there. Men put tikka over there. Awareness remains there because that part becomes little tight. All the sadhus also, they put good amount of chandan at this space so that that part is very different than all the other parts. So these are all simple ways in which people develop awareness of that place. But yoga talks about a very simple technique which you should practice. Sit in a meditative pose, close your eyes, and now with closed eyes, roll your eyes towards this place. Stay in that position. internally you are looking at this place. In the beginning, some people may feel little headache, but by practice, you will not feel that. You will feel very comfortable rolling your eyes at this place. Stay in this position for some time, and that would be very good. Second point, light management. In nature, as the sun sets, the bright light goes away, things go darker. And that's the time pineal gland would slowly start becoming active. But now, what do we do? The moment sun sets, our lights are much, much more brighter. And we remain in that bright light for a long time. Rather, at night, we are more active. Actually, nature helps us. Day is meant for work, night is meant for rest. But we don't follow these natural paths. And we create a problem to see that our body doesn't function well. Now, what do we do? The moment sun sets, we have our own light. And the room becomes absolutely bright. Our life becomes with bright light. We start using mobile, television, and that blue light of mobile keeps us still more bright and active. So what you should do, see to it that you sleep little early. See to it that you dim your lights at least 1 hour before you go to bed. And that would help you to give you a good sleep. This pineal gland would help you to sleep really well. So don't use your mobile phones and computers at least 1 hour before you go to bed. Third, eye exercise. As pineal gland is closely associated with your eyes and head, it is always better to keep your eyes healthy. Do these following Sratak exercises. There are few eye exercises which you should do. One is look at your palm, which is closer distance, and see some object which is very far from you. Looking over here, looking over there. Go on doing this 30 to 50 times of good eye exercise. Second exercise, rotate your eyes from right to left, left to right, rolling your eyes. Third, take your eyes on the shoulder. So, right shoulder, left shoulder. Fourth, look at the tip of your nose. Fifth, look at the center of your eyebrows. So all these rolling of eyes at different places would help strengthen.
So I hope that's been helpful just to bring your awareness to the pineal gland and how just the act of rolling your eyes around and focusing on that spot in the middle of your forehead is actually helping detox your pineal gland, stimulate your pineal gland, all of that just reminding us that there's so much we can do to stay away from the medical sick care system. So let's move on to number 7, cultivating healthy relationships. When you are in an energy draining relationship over time, it can take its toll physically as well as psychologically. This is just so important. I've got to play an audio. I'm going to do that after the break because your relationships tend to trigger us into anger, which is part of her 12 ways to avoid the medical checkup, fear. And if we can really work on having healthy relationships that don't drain our energy, And don't cause us to be in fear or anger, all the low vibrating emotions, then that's a big step toward avoiding unnecessary medical checkups. And so we want to look at that. I'm going to take the last break now. And when we come back, we're going to look at what does it mean to have a healthy relationship? Some tips on having healthy relationships. Too many of us stay in toxic relationships. And as Dr. Northrup said, it's going to affect your psychological and your physical state if you do stay in these unhealthy relationships. And we don't even realize how much it affects us until we stay too long. And then when we have problems with our body, we don't really even look at the fact that you've been in an unhealthy relationship way too long. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness / stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Health and Well-Being with Viaba. I'm in the Blog Talk Radio studio of The Female Solution. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about 12 ways to avoid unnecessary medical checkups. And we started out with Dr. Christian Northrup's blog for the week, sharing the 12, the first, let's see, we're up to number 7. So we're going to get to 12. In the next 20 minutes or so. We might go over a little bit, but I do want to bring in a little bit of testimony about healthy relationships. This is so important because the healthy relationships will not trigger us into sickness and disease if we are aware of what is toxic about relationships that we're in and how it affects us. So that's what's important. So my guest from YouTube University, it's going to just touch on what it means to be have healthy or unhealthy.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Top Think. Today, we're going to learn about 12 signs of a healthy relationship. Now, let's begin. Number 1, zero reaction anxiety. Do you ever hold something back because you're worried about how your partner's going to react? In your normal everyday life, you spend so much time monitoring your behavior. You stop acting like yourself and cater to the people around you. But your relationship should be a safe space. Somewhere you can take off your filter, where you can express anything you want to express without being scared or embarrassed. If you have zero reaction anxiety, it means you trust your partner to embrace who you are. In a long-term relationship, very few things are more important than that. Number 2, healthy disagreements. No one expects you to agree on everything, People often imagine healthy relationships as this perfect utopia where the two of you are in sync 24/7. You see eye to eye on every decision. You complete each other's sentences. Your visions of the future couldn't be more similar. But that's not what a healthy and positive relationship really looks like. The truth is, there will be disagreements. There will be times when you argue, times when you have trouble understanding the other person's point of view. And hey, that's okay. In fact, it's healthy for partners to butt heads every once in a while. A disagreement often means that you're actively trying to find a compromise that benefits the both of you. You see, the happiest relationships aren't dominated by a single partner. One person's opinions shouldn't completely overshadow the others. That really defeats the purpose of being in a relationship. Relationships should be about sharing your life, not finding someone else's life to control. This is a trap that many young couples fall into. One person wants to keep their partner happy, so they pretend that their own opinions aren't important. But this is a recipe for disaster. You think you're doing your partner a favor, but they want you to express yourself, even if your opinions don't line up with theirs. Just make sure that you're not disagreeing all the time. If you're arguing constantly, then there's probably a deeper problem with the relationship as a whole. The same rule actually applies to your friendships. Having a few disagreements is healthy, but too many means your relationship might need some work. Number 3, division of space. Every strong relationship should have two things, space and boundaries. Even though the two of you like being together, well, you need time to exist as individuals. Without those limitations, many people start to feel suffocated. They become codependent on their partners because they forget who they are outside of the relationship. Creating physical space is a great way to reclaim that feeling of independence. When you're separated from your partner, you have the freedom to focus on what you want to do. You might, for example, take that time to reconnect with the other important people in your life, like friends and family. Because a relationship, no matter how serious it is, shouldn't consume your individuality. You should still have your own interests, your own ambitions, and your own social bonds. Emotional boundaries exist for the same reason. In a healthy relationship, you need to respect your partner's freedom to feel and make choices on their own. The two of you might think alike, but you shouldn't act like you have one brain. Hey, it's okay for you to like one thing while your partner likes another. You should make an effort to understand each other's interests, but boundaries are a healthy way of maintaining your individuality. Number 4, displacing frustration. Do you feel like you have to be right all the time? Do you fight your partner on every little thing? These are both signs of an unhealthy relationship. Now, as much as you want to argue, that need to be right is much less important than your partner's feelings. Both of you should be willing to give in if it's in the best interest of your relationship. Now, I'm not saying that you can't be frustrated with your partner. That's just not possible. Even the most loving relationships create their fair share of negativity. But the difference is that people in healthy relationships learn how to manage their frustration. Instead of berating or yelling at their partner, they blow off steam by working, exercising, or venting to their friends. Most of the time, this helps them realize one of two things. Either that this is something important they should calmly talk to their partner about, or that being right, well, it really isn't worth it. Number 5, avoiding withdrawal. One of the most destructive moments in a relationship is when one partner begins to pull away. They become emotionally distant. They might not seem enthusiastic about spending time with you. This kind of withdrawal can mean a few different things. So let's highlight the worst case scenario. When your partner is constantly acting distant, they may not be willing to put in the effort anymore. They're choosing to step back and let things fall apart. Now, of course, this ambivalence doesn't just pop up out of nowhere. Persistent withdrawal usually stems from feelings of neglect, anger, or irritation. No matter where it comes from, withdrawal is a huge red flag. In a healthy relationship, each partner actively works to close that distance. They don't withdraw into themselves. They encourage each other to be open and expressive. So if you notice your partner pulling away, give them a chance to tell you why. Number 6, conflict kindness. No matter how heated things get, healthy couples are always kind to one another. They definitely get angry and frustrated like everyone else, but they won't resort to insults or personal attacks. You'll never hear them tear their partner down just to get their point across. One of the keys to a healthy relationship is to show kindness throughout conflict. As strange as it sounds, you can argue with someone while still making it clear that you care about how they feel.
So I think you get the idea about what it takes to have a healthy relationship. And as Dr. Northrup has pointed out, it's work. When you are in an energy-draining relationship over time, it can take its toll physically as well as psychologically. And I have seen this in so many relationships in my lifetime, that if you want to stay away from unnecessary medical checkups, one of the key out of the 12 is cultivate healthy relationships. So there's lots of information on YouTube for that. But let me move on about releasing fear is number 8. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the 12 ways that Dr. Christian Northrup, a medically trained doctor, is advising us on how to stay away from unnecessary medical checkups. Annual checkups are just a programming we have received when we were young, and now she's giving us ways to stay out of that because, number one, finances. Many people can't afford insurance, and that means you can't afford to go to a doctor, but you can afford to change the way you react or respond to things. And number 8 is release fear. Fear that is constant and held on to for long periods of time creates a biochemical state in your body. This adversely affects your immunity and increases your susceptibility to viruses and bacteria that are all around you. Now, this speaks loudly about the last 2 years we've all been navigating in the global family. The Corona adventure, the Twilight Zone adventure, and now the new scariants that are coming out. And I want to just give you a little tapping that you can do if you start feeling that fear rising up, especially if you're watching the media, which is one of the things she recommends you don't do. But if you start to feel fear in your body, honor it, recognize it. False evidence appearing real, however you want to define it, but recognize it, feel it, and then tap on it with EFT. I always recommend tapping to reduce the energy, the frequency of fear or any other negative hate, anxiety, resentment, anger. Tapping, even though I'm feeling this fear, I deeply love and accept myself, because what is the most powerful emotion to overcome fear is love. Love, love, love. Love yourself more when you feel fear. Even though this fear is right in front of me, it's all around me, people wearing masks, people doing things, strange things, I deeply love and accept myself. And then using your fingers as an acupressure instrument, take those fingers and activate your meridians with, even though this fear is in my body, I don't like the feeling. You're tapping it out. Tapping in between the eyebrows, tapping on the side of it. I don't like this feeling. You're giving your body a message of love. I don't like this feeling. I honor this feeling of fear in my body, but I don't like it. I don't like it. So I've got to turn it around, and I'm going to choose to love myself instead. I'm going to choose to love this body. I'm going to choose to honor and have gratitude. Gratitude is a high frequency, higher than fear. So you want to get into those emotions that are higher than fear frequency. Forgiveness. I forgive myself for even thinking about fear, but I'm going to move on into another direction of love. I love this body. I'm going to take better care of you. Tapping in the love energy and letting go of all that fear, unnecessary fear energy. Letting it go. Loving myself more, loving myself, honoring this temple, this sacred temple, letting go. Thank you, fear, for coming, showing up, but now I let you go, and I install love energy, love, 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 and forgiveness, gratitude, joy, 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 joy's highest frequency, joy, I'm full of joy, I am joy. Can we get to I am joy? I am joy. I am love. I am forgiveness. I am greatness. So then you grab your wrist, take a deep breath, and say peace. And you should feel a shift when you do that, whenever that fear comes up. So let's move on. After we release that fear, express righteous anger. What is righteous anger? This is Dr. Northrup's number 9 recommendation of ways to avoid unnecessary medical exam. Anger often arises from unmet needs, especially at midlife. Expressing righteous anger allows you to heal your emotions and your body. Now, when we hear righteous anger, I know many of us think of religion or spirituality, and that's true. It actually, that phrase comes from the Bible, actually. But I want to give you a two-minute, kind of a mini sermon, actually three-minute mini sermon on what righteous anger is and how do we use it to in a productive way. It's important to understand this because we often feel it, use it.
James 1:20 makes the distinction between the two. The anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Anger in and of itself is neither right nor wrong, good nor bad. All right? God gets angry. Romans chapter 1 says the wrath of God. But take the life of Jesus as we compare this, because we know that he was the sinless, impeccable Son of God. But we also know he got angry. I mean, at the beginning of his earthly ministry and at the end of his earthly ministry, he walked into the temple, walked up the stairs and into the portico of Solomon. And what did he do? He cleansed those money-changing Pharisees, turned those tables over, had a whip in his hand. And I doubt if he went in and said, hey guys, would you mind, please, would you do me a favor? Would you just not do that? It really hurts God's feelings. No, the Bible says zeal, passion, the Greek word jealousy for God's house, consumed him. The Son of God, the Lord of glory, the sinless Holy One of Israel was consumed with anger. So obviously, anger is not in itself sin. So what's the difference? Well, looking at that, you can see the difference between the righteous anger of the Son of God and the unrighteous anger that you and I often experience. Well, so let's take a look at the difference. The first thing we see in his anger was that it was controlled. It was passionate, but it was controlled. You don't see God getting out of control. He didn't lose his cool. Doesn't fly off the handle. Ours is uncontrolled. But then it was, if you remember, it was restorative. Its goal was to restore. What is ours? Our goal is to lash out and hurt. That's what our anger looks like. His was redemptive, and ours is selfish. Ours is my way or the highway. You know, you mess with me, you're going to get in trouble. Right? Whereas his is redemptive. So you look at those two things and you see the difference between the two immediately. When I am uncontrolled, it's about me and I lash out to hurt, it isn't the same as the righteous anger of God. And there's a time when you start out taking disciplining your children, when it's controlled, it's about them, it's directed at the sin, and it's redemptive and restorative, but then it starts to turn.
So that's a really brief reminder of the difference between the type of anger we express. And I love the reference to Christ, the Messiah, how a righteous person, an anointed person behaves with anger. And yet we sometimes get out of control with our anger and we want to hurt someone. Big difference. When she says express righteous anger, we want to make sure that we are healing the situation with our anger, not causing harm and hurt. So number 10, maintain a healthy microbiome. Something I talk about all the time. If you're going to stay away from your medical checkup needs or demands. Maintain a healthy microbiome. That's trillions of microbes in your gut, all over your body. She says 80% of your immune system is in your microbiome. Supporting your digestion can go a long way to creating a healthy gut microbiome and optimizing your overall health. Microbiome knowledge and wisdom is very powerful because you begin to eat in a way that feeds your gut. This is so important, brothers and sisters, these days when the energy around us is all fear, and it affects our immune system when we're in fear and then worrying about something that's part of your microbiome. Guess what? Viruses are part of your microbiome system. Hello, hello, hello. We are in the flu season, and what do we get? Oh, worry about a new variant. Let's go on. Number 11, stop watching mainstream media. Woohoo! I love this one. I have said it many times, and after the events of the past 2 years, I'm certain that there is no way to remain healthy if you imbibe in a constant stream of fear, programming, and propaganda. Just turn it off. This is so true in my life experientially. Those people in my life who are still walking around in fear, 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 they watch CNN on a regular basis, and I have family to prove it, and I just amazed that they don't get that message. So Dr. Christian Northrup says number 11 is stop watching mainstream media. I hope most of you are beyond that, and this is not something we even need to dwell on, but as she says, it's part of the fear programming that many people are under, mesmerized to think that they should be afraid of something that's already in them or around them for the last umpteen years. And then number 12, we finally made it. Number 12 in her 12 ways. And then afterwards, I'm going to give you a brief plan for achieving true health every year. Number 12, don't get the flu shot. Hello, this is Dr. Christian Northrup saying this. Don't get the flu shot. I want to remind everybody, this is what we call the flu season. And that's what Dr. Northrup brings forth in her blog. Quote, flu season is another one of those medical establishment myths. This is a doctor, a medical doctor saying this. Flu season is another one of those medical establishment myths. In fact, flu mortality statistics have been greatly exaggerated until COVID. Even if they were true, data shows flu shots are ineffective and they are not benign. That means they do have an effect on your body. The risk of adverse events is greater than risk associated with getting the flu for most people. Plus, research suggests that receiving annual flu vaccinations does not lower your risk of disease transmission, so you are not protecting yourself or your community. We're hearing a lot about, well, if you get the shot, you're going to protect you and your community. Don't be selfish. Get the shot and protect you and your community. Dr. Northrup says, not true, not true. You are not protecting yourself or your community when you get a flu shot or any shot, in my opinion. I'm with her on that. So what is her plan for achieving true health every year? Here's some advice from her. Instead of getting a mammogram, I will continue to get weekly massages. Oh, my kind of thing. Forget the mammogram. It causes cancer. There's lots of evidence for that. Massage has many health benefits. It increases relaxation, helps to keep your fascia healthier, that's all parts of you, and protect you from injury. It improves circulation, lowers heart rate and blood pressure, and can improve your immune function. So if you have a significant other, let's get that massage going, spouses and partners. Number 2, instead of a colonoscopy, which your health plan may recommend, I'll be doing Pilates. Pilates is an exercise of sorts. In addition to keeping my core and pelvic floor strong, Pilates helped me move with more energy, balance, and flexibility. So look into Pilates, that's P-I-L-A-T-E-S. And number 3, instead of a lipid profile that doctors like to give you every year, she says, instead of having a lipid profile done, I'll be weight training 2 to 3 times per week. It helps keep my muscles and bones strong. Plus, the more lean muscle you have, the more calories you burn. How about that? I have, my son gave me 2 sets of weights, one for my wrist and one for my legs. I use them almost every day now. So I'm in really in harmony with her. And then lastly, her advice, instead of blood pressure testing, here you go. Instead of testing my blood pressure, I'll be praying. Whoa, is that a new, a novel idea? She says, prayer is real medicine. When you put your faith in a higher power, there is a constant source of healing energy available to you through the Creator. What does your annual health plan look like? Please share your thoughts with me. So that, my sisters and brothers, is Dr. Christian Northrup's advice for us, avoiding unnecessary medical checkups. And I would add with her, her prayer is breathing. Breathing is so important. And we've done a little bit of that, but we're at the end of the show. But let's just do a 30-second breathing practice. I like to end every session with breathing so we remember to keep this up. Breathing in, holding it, and exhaling. Take in all this knowledge and wisdom. My people perish for lack of knowledge is the word. Breathe in the knowledge of today. Practice it. Breathe out. Let go of all the old programming. Breathe in newness of life. Breathe in the air and sun and walk barefoot every day. That's so key in the new breatharian lifestyle. Walk barefoot. Get out there. Breathe in and out. So we're going to say, play our thank you ending. Come back tomorrow and the email solution here on Blog Talk Radio. This is the first, I believe, first Saturday of the month. I think we have Donna, okay. But this is the end of our show. Get out there, take your shoes off. My guest, Ellie Tennell, reminded us. You can even walk barefoot in airports these days. I might just try that. Well, when I go traveling this end of this year, put your shoes off. The energy you get from Mother Earth is so powerful that you take your shoes off. Got to take your shoes off. Breathing, take your shoes off. And practice the 12 ways.
Watch our TV show.
You don't have to be programmed into going to the doctor and looking at him as omnipotent in some way.
On behalf of Radio,
go inside.
I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion.
Pineal gland.
And to our global family. We're going to
say,
from all around the world.
We're going to say goodbye to our global family. Say
thank
you.
To our family in China.
China.
Cheche.
Cheche.
India. Zanyaba. Japan. Arigato. Korea. Kamsahamnida. Russia. Spasiba. Germany. Danke. Poland, Jean Cunyon, France, merci, Spain, gracias, Italy, grazie, Egypt, shukran, Ghana, merci, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jerez, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you, and the mercy of God, and God's blessings.